Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. Man, I am excited today. I have a fantastic cup of coffee that is piping hot. My vape is filled with the essence of my enemies. No, I'm kidding. It's not that dramatic and exciting around here. But what is dramatic and exciting is our guest today. We have a fantastic guest lined up today. I am just a big fan of hers. I'm blown away by her. She is a alt-pop, indie-pop singer-songwriter and just all-around really, really cool person. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the show Miss or Mrs., I don't know, honestly, Samantha Margaret. Samantha, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm very good. I'm so excited to be here. I love the idea of a vase filled with what the essence of your enemy is. That's great.
Yeah, you know, if you can't beat them, smoke them. No, I'm teasing. I realized just how much of a douchebag I kind of have become. Well, I really haven't. I guess I've embraced the tropes of it. I was sitting in my mid-century, our house is a mid-century house, mid-century revisionist, pardon me. And so I'm sitting there. Mm-hmm. My Chinese Shar Pei dogs at my feet. I'm listening to vinyl records on my stereo, smoking my vape the other night, and it hit me as an epiphany. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. What is wrong with me?
We all have those moments. We all have those moments. I feel like I have moments, especially with like how artsy I've become, like since I started doing music full time. Like I remember what my wake up routine used to be like. When I had a normal job where I would like brush my teeth and wash my hair and, you know, put on some eyeliner and head out the door. And now I'm like, okay, I do my morning journaling and then I'm going to make a collage about my teeth and, you know, and I'm just like, who am I?
It is so true. It is so true. And it's, you know, as they say it in the business, as content creators, actually, I hate that term content. I mean, that's what we do, but I don't know. I'm a painter by trade. I'm not in the music business, but all of my friends, you know, growing up, all of my friends wanted to be in bands. Now I'm a little down the road from you age-wise and whatnot. I'm sure I can just tell by looking at your pictures, either that or you use a whole heck of a lot of product. No,
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? I always said that I feel like instead of women saying that they're younger than they are, we should all just say we're like 85, because then the reaction is like, oh my God, you look amazing.
Absolutely. Oh my God. It was so funny. That reminds me and my wife, we back before the world changed, we do probably a charity a month, maybe every other month, some charity event here in South Florida. I shouldn't say we attend some charity event. You know, we get an invitation and go and whatnot, do our thing. And we were at one, this is probably over a year ago now. And it was some, you know, dinner or something. I don't know, Save the Sea Turtles or something. I can't remember what exactly it was. But we're there, and it's a real, you know, hobnobbing with the hobnobs type deal, pinky out. And I look over, and there's this woman, a seasoned woman, that's a good way to put it, and she looked amazing. I mean, she looked like she, you know, didn't work for a fashion magazine, but owned a fashion magazine. She really reminded me of that Devil Wears Prada, Meryl Streep character. I'm like, wow, look at her. And one of the things about going, I'm sorry?
I just said that's an achievement to look like Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada. That's like a life goal.
Yeah, she just had the hair. Everything was perfect, you know. She just looked great. And so one of the things that you know, just kind of self-type people we are, that me and my wife, Danny, will do after we go to some fancy event like this is we usually go to IHOP or, you know, someplace, a diner or something, and then go over and talk smack about everybody that was at the fancy thing. And not in a negative way, but we compare notes, you know, it's fantastic. But I said, man, did you see that lady? And my wife is like, oh my gosh. She goes, that's goals. When I get to be that age, I want to have that presence. She walked in the room and everybody took notes. And
yeah.
I was just like, yeah, man, she's blown away.
I love the way you describe that exchanging of notes. I feel like there are some great songs that I know of that have come out of that, right? Where it's a bunch of songwriters in a room and somebody's like, did you see that guy at the party? And then next mm-hmm. thing you know, there's just song about that guy at the party. So I'm all for that kind of, like, people are interesting. People are so interesting.
Oh, they're fascinating. Another thing we do, and I guess we're just weirdos, and I don't deny it, I own it, but we'll go to like a diner or a Denny's or some late night place, you know, if we've been out or something, especially if it's late. If it's like 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, the later the better. Yeah, the closer to closing time at the bars. And we'll sit in like an IHOP or something and get our, you know, our hamburger or pancakes, whatever, and not say a word to each other. And not because we're romantic. What we're doing is we're eavesdropping on all the conversations at all the tables around us because they're just fascinating, you know. And then we get in the car and then we have the back and forth exchange. We're like, oh, my, that girl's having an affair with his brother. Did you hear that? You know, and it's just terrible. Yeah. But you could probably get some strong ideas with that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
People make us half off and, you know, bad.
You have to be taking in information to be able, I think, to be able to make really cool and exciting art, you know, because I think I'm interesting and I could hang out with myself, but I also know that I don't have every story in just myself in my house. You know, you got to go out in the world and experience some stuff. Yeah, totally.
I got to tell you, Samantha, I have been doing the show for a while. I didn't plan on doing this show. I started it. I thought I'd do about 20 episodes and get bored with it and move on to something. And this is episode 1053 or something like that. And
wow.
You have the coolest press pictures I have ever seen. The fine folks over at Trend PR sent over your press kit, your electronic press kit. Hey, people in bands and musicians that are listening, if you don't have an EPK, as they call it, you need to get one. It's so important. But anyway, they are fantastic at Trend PR. They sent it over, and I saw your press photos with the chocolate syrup and the sprinkles and everything, you know. And I'm going, this lady is cool, turned up to 10. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then I had to listen to your music.
I so appreciate you saying that. It's funny because I did not used to have super creative, you know, promo photos of myself. I used to do the kind of like, okay, like go out in a meadow and, you know, do your hair nice kind of thing, which is, so I love when people do that well. But I actually have found that being in quarantine has made my photos so much more creative because I am not a photographer. I know I'm not a photographer. And so I'm like, okay, I have to do something cool. You know, like it's not going to be a good picture just because I'm standing there and, you know, my partner or a friend takes the picture. Actually, I was very lucky. And those photos of me in the chocolate syrup with the sprinkles, those are taken by and inspired by my friend Jesse Ditkoff, who is a photographer, and I happened to be visiting him and his wife, or fiance, I should say, Eva Snyder, who's actually the co-writer on Saucy. And we just got out a kiddie pool and we're like, let's go nuts. And he happened to have a 50-pound bag of sprinkles or something. Oh, and I was like, okay.
As you do. Number one, that makes him really cool, turned up to 10, just having that on hand.
Oh, yeah.
And a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
And unless they're one of those types of couple.
They're very cool.
No, I'm teasing. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. They are I'm terrible at taking photos too. And I'm a painter for a living. I mean, I've been painting pictures of people for 20 years. I mean, it's what I do for a living. But the thing, like when my wife, and she knows, she doesn't even ask anymore. My wife, you have to understand, 6'1" and I'm 5'6", you know, we're quite the couple. So whenever she's like, we'll be somewhere or something. And she's like, hey, take a picture of me. Or it used to be this way. It isn't anymore. Because every girl, well, every person, I shouldn't even say that. That's a misogynist thing to say. Every person now with an Instagram account knows that you don't take a photo from low to high. It has to be high ground to low ground. I'm so short, all of my photos are up. You know, it's bad.
You know, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from San Francisco. You should go to San Francisco and take all your pictures because everything's on a hill. So you can just walk up the hill,
right,
and then you're way up the other person.
Oh, my God. My wife's never been to San Francisco, and she really was. Before the quarantine happened and everything, well, that was going to be our next big trip, the West Coast. She's never been out west there. And, yeah, never been to Vegas either. I'm like, I don't know how we wound up together, but we did. And we were going to go, but my fear is, man, once you go to San Francisco, your mind starts working. You're like, okay, I know it's wicked expensive, but if I had 14 extra side jobs, I could make this happen, and we could relocate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it there.
Yeah.
I never lived up there. I always lived in Southern California. But my heart was in San Francisco. Let me tell you. Mm. I wanted to live up there.
It's a song.
Did you grow?
Just like the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Before COVID, I was half time in LA and half time in San Francisco with my family. That was so wonderful because there are things about each city that are so dear to me and they're totally different. It has been a pleasure to just be in San Francisco again. I feel like, you know, it's my childhood all over again. I'm with my parents and her and we're just enjoying.
Really?
Yeah.
You did the lockdown with your folks after living on your own.
So
9-10 months now.
My partner and I, we live on our own in San Francisco and, we are near my parents all the time when we are in the city, but we decided to just form a pod, you know, so that we could still see them, and
cool.
So we've quarantined from everybody else, and so we're over there, you know, every day, every other day, because when you can only see two other people in the world, you go see them a lot.
absolutely, and
yeah.
We've done the same thing. My wife's parents live 3 blocks from us, and it's
Similar,
you know,
situation.
That's about it. Yeah, no, we've all gotten to know each other real well.
That's the activity, right? The activity is like, oh, I'm going to go over to mom and dad's house.
Exactly.
There's no
or they're coming here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, so you grew up in San Fran then. You're from that neck of the woods originally? Nice.
Yes,
nice.
I am.
No, did you meet your partner there or did you meet your partner down in LA?
No, you know, we actually met in high school, which is so funny because I'm a city kid and like nobody meets in high school, you know, like we all expected to kind of go off into the world and meet other people. And you just never know.
I hear you. Did you know that, you know, entertainment and showbiz was, when you were a young lady, did you have any idea that this is what you were going to be doing?
You know, I had what I think a lot of people have, which is a secret dream, where I, in my heart, you know, the most wonderful thing was when I was in high school and I would be playing piano in the little music room and somebody would come in and say, oh my gosh, you sound just like Sarah Bareilles. Like that was the thing that made my heart flutter. And so I think I knew deep down, but I also, I'm not from a family of artists. And so I just didn't know that it was real job. You know, I think I looked out in the world and I thought, oh, art is a hobby. Art is a thing you do for fun on the side, but you have to go get a real job. And
absolutely.
So I went to, what's funny is that I went to college and studied English, which I look back and I think, sorry, you wanted to go out and get a real job because art isn't real and you studied literature? What are you talking about? But I graduated from school and I taught for a little while. I taught English for about a year and I loved my students and I absolutely hated, I was just miserable. I just hated going in to work and I just could feel the pull of music where I never had enough time for music and I always felt like I was spending too much time on work and I was mad that I didn't have more time to write songs. And, you know, at some point I feel really fortunate that even though I don't have a family of artists, I have a super supportive inner circle of people around me who basically were like, you don't have to do the thing you're doing. You're making the choice to do the thing you're doing. You know? And once I had that freedom, not every artist, but I think a lot of artists experience that, right? There's the confinement of the culture you grow up in. If it isn't an art time, and you have to figure out, okay, how do I live in this world of capitalism and patriarchy and racism and, you know, all these in classism, all these things that confine us, and try to be like a free spirit who expresses.
Absolutely.
But man, it's a better time on this side, let me tell you. I'm sure you know.
I grew up in Metro Detroit. It was, I left home early. You know, I moved out when I was like 16. Mm-hmm. I was the only kid in my high school with their own apartment. It was one of those types of deals.
Wow.
Which sounds great. It wasn't. that was terrible.
No, that's hard.
Nobody.
How do you treat yourself?
Yeah, nobody. Well, you know, I was doing a little of it. That's a whole other show. Yeah, I was a DJ.
Yeah, exactly.
I did all the stupid stuff. But, the thing is, nobody needs to go to 11th grade hungover. There's a reason that, you know, you're not supposed to be drinking and hanging out and partying and going to clubs and stuff, you know. There's a reason they have a door, they check IDs. The thing is I remember me and my friends. This was a couple of years later after all that. None of us could afford an apartment at the time. I don't know why we all didn't move into it together. That would have solved the problem. But what we did is we all rented rooms from old ladies and stuff like that. But we couldn't hang out anywhere because nobody had their own place. So we'd hang out at a Denny's all night long. And I would sketch, and my friend who was a writer would always be writing. And the Denny's people loved this because we just, you know, they didn't have to really do anything. We got our own coffee and stuff, you know. And they used to take phone messages for us there. It was crazy. But anyway, I was sketching one day, and this guy came up, and he goes, I'll give you $100 for that that drawing there that you're doing. And that was my first, for me, the light bulb went off. And I said, oh, my gosh, if I could do this 4 times a week, you know, I could be okay. If I can sell this stuff.
Right.
And that was even before art school or any of that. I said, okay, in order to do that, I need to learn how to paint. You know, I need to learn my skill. So that's why I went to art school, to do that and whatnot. And just been doing it ever since. But, you know, I hear you. You have to, especially, and it is so hard if you don't have, and I want to say this for any parents out there listening, if you've got a creative kid, man, get behind them, you know. You never know. They could be buying you an infinity pool in Malibu, man. You gotta get them on the right track and be supportive because you don't want to squash those dreams. I'd rather make a dream, water a dream, and have it grow, especially with young people, than tell them how they can't do it or how that it won't work, what they're trying to do. You know, figure out how it'll work. You can do it. You too,
I mean,
Samantha Margaret, and we're a musician and living in San Francisco. let me tell you, man, living in San Francisco, being a musician, you got to have it together. that just doesn't.
Yeah, well, yes.
Doesn't
happen. You have to have a couple of other hats you wear. You're a musician, and you're also this thing, and you're also that thing. Yeah.
I'm
also very fortunate that my partner is a 9-to-5 kind of a guy, and he loves it. So that helps too.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
That's cool.
Yeah,
cool. So he's not in the arts then.
No, I always say I don't think, you know, I have so many friends who are in these beautiful artist couples and it's so lovely and I really support them. And I just think that I would be so competitive. I would be competing.
Right.
Well, I would be like, well, here's my new piece of art, you know, and it's so much easier for me to be.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
So I think it's a lot.
Years ago, I have dated people that it's bad. You know what I mean? I mean, fights and stuff happened over stupid stuff. You know, oh, well, you got more likes and blah, 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 or all this or that. You know, I think the successful way to do it is if you get into a relationship, doesn't matter, you know, what type of relationship you're in, if both of your wins our successes, or if a single person's win is a success for both of you, then you've got a partnership there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got to find the right person before that works.
Right. Right.
Sounds like you have.
Yeah. And well, I've been with my partner, 10 years now, I guess, a long time.
It's amazing.
And and I think, you know, what's so great for me as an artist is that he is such a careful and dedicated listener to music. So rather than find someone else who makes music, I went out and sort of found, I got lucky. I didn't look for this, but I ended up with someone who really can hear music in a special way and can participate like that. We're not competitive because it's not like he's writing a song too.
Right.
So that works for me. I think I write with a band that's a couple and they write together and that's how they do it. And I think that works too. It's just about finding what feels good for you and your partner, you know, figuring out that balance.
Absolutely. What amazes me to hear you say this, it doesn't amaze me, but I was worried, Samantha, I was worried. Your track, one of the tracks we're going to play today of yours, we have two singles to play today, is Feminist Girlfriend. I love this track. I love the video, everything about this. I have met the fellow in this song. No, I've met people like the fellow in this song. And well, that's what I was saying. I was a little worried. I'm like, man, I hope this isn't autobiographical. I hope she's not in that situation, you know, because, you know, you seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody in that situation, you know.
I mean, it is a true story. It is a true story, but it is not about my partner, thankfully.
Fantastic. That's good to hear. We find ourselves. And again, I might wade into the quicksand here a little bit, and I don't mean to. I will preface this, you know, my questions in regards to this track and subject material of this track. It would be stupid. I'm smart enough to know that, you've experienced, misogyny in your life. Of course you have. You're a woman, you know. I'm not saying that's okay. I think it surprises a lot of people like myself who knew that this happened and was an issue, but until the last couple of years, perhaps didn't know how big of an issue it was just because we didn't think about it, you know, and songs like your track here, Feminist Girlfriend, maybe shines a little light on that, you know?
You
don't
want to
be
so.
The guy in the song.
I think what you're describing is like we as a country are going through that right now. We are all finding blind spots where, sure, we knew that that ism existed. You know, we knew that classism was a problem. We knew that sexism was a problem. We knew that racism was a problem, but we didn't get it. Whatever it was for each of us, there's something that we hadn't seen fully because we're one person. You know, I don't expect that every man in America has really delved into, you know, every experience of every woman he knows. That would be very odd, right? And that's why I think it's so important for all of us to share those narratives in the ways that we feel comfortable. It is so that, you know, that's a gift we give one another. I feel exactly like you do, that there are things that, you know, I'm aware of, but I really appreciate when somebody shares their story so that I can have more understanding as opposed to just like, yeah, I know that's out there, kind of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like I said, I grew up in Detroit, with the whole racism thing. I knew it was a thing. I knew about 8 Mile and most of my life in Detroit.
Right.
I lived below 8 Mile after I moved out of my nice suburban parents' house, you know, but I was so immersed in that culture. I mean, I was right in the middle of, it's all African-American. Well, not all, but 90%, I would say, that when I went to college, I remember when I moved to Boston, I found a cheap apartment because it's what I could afford and whatnot. I didn't really realize it was in the black part of town. And I'll never forget, the electric guy came to turn on our electricity, to switch it on into our name and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was with my roommate, this girl, also from Detroit. And he's like, "You kids are in the wrong neighborhood, man. Aren't you? You guys, you know, your family know where you're renting an apartment?" We're like, "What are you talking about, man?" Because to us, it was such a non-issue because we never dealt with that. You know what I mean? And, you know, and then these last couple of years, people in the streets and the riots and, well, not just riots, but protests. I hate when people say, "Oh, and riots in the street." Well, protests in the street and, you know, the kneeling of sports figures. They're kneeling for a reason, man. I don't think it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to see more of this. It's a stupid problem that needs to be solved. I don't know why it's there are so many things, Samantha, in life that I see as I get a little older. Equal pay for equal work. What the hell is that? Everybody likes their mom. Nobody wants their mom making less than somebody. Are you kidding me? How is that even an issue? You know, why are we allowing that to be an issue? Hungry kids?
Right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get
into
that.
And I think a lot of that is really about us all seeing one another as people. You know, I think that it's clear from the behavior of our systems and our country as a whole. Like, it's clear from our behavior that we are not seeing one another as whole human beings, you know? And I think for me, that's really where art comes into play, is that art is a way that we are able to express ourselves as whole human beings and then to be seen as whole human beings. And so, you know, if I go into a room and just start ranting about this bad Zoom call that I had that turned into the song Feminist GF, right? Like, that is not going to be as effective. That's not going to communicate my soul and show somebody, like, "Hey, here's and here's what I experienced." In the same way that, like, a really hard-hitting song, just, it gets to you. Like, it transmits the humanity of one person to the humanity of another person. And I think that is what is so special and so important about all kinds of art during this time, is just all of us being able to share common humanity and really see one another as whole people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's play it. This is a fantastic track. This is, both of these singles are out, right? The people can buy these.
Yeah. Both out. You can go listen to them at the Margaret.
Very, very cool. Here it is, folks. This is Feminist Girlfriend. Check this out. Is it Feminist Girlfriend or Feminist GF? Did I?
It's either one. It's written out Feminist GF, but I go back and forth in what I speak aloud. Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, here it is, everybody. Check this out. Samantha Margaret, this fantastic track. I one of my favorites this year. Here it is.
I'll wear my strawberry earrings, you wear that smug little smile. I'll wear whatever I'm wearing and you can think what you like. To watch how bitches fail, talented and not, you knock the wind from our sails. Your t-shirt says future is female, but I don't think you buy what you sell. Friends, as though that makes you excused. I've heard the shit that you're saying. She is out of the room. I'll wear my jeans and my sneakers. You wear that smug little smile. I'll wear whatever I'm wearing, and you can think what you like. And when the future comes calling, go find a good place to hide. It's in a barrel of laughs in your world. Welcome to mine.
Anyhow, let's start from the top. Feminist GF, Samantha Margaret. There it was, folks. Samantha, I'm not lying. It's one of my favorite tracks of the year. This is a fantastic track. Just awesome.
I really appreciate
awesome.
It. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this track. Now, as a painter, everybody sees my end product. Like when I post a picture of a painting I've done, they see the end result. And they're like, nothing was on TV. You know, Law and Order SVU was a rerun, or he didn't have anything to do, so he knocked this out. And sometimes that's the case. But oftentimes what they don't see is a painting that'll fight me. And I'm ready to throw the thing in the street and jump up and down on it. Mm-hmm. I haven't yet. But that thought has crossed my mind. Sometimes, I guess what I'm saying, sometimes they come easy and sometimes they come hard. And you can never tell with the finished product. Feminist GF, did it come easy or did it come hard?
You know, it's interesting because the two tracks that you've been talking about, Feminist GF and Saucy, are opposites in that way. Feminist GF was smooth sailing. I basically had a phone call that went very badly. Basically word for word you hear in the song. But I had a phone call that went very badly. I got off the phone. I wrote the song start to finish. I demoed it out and I sent it off to my producer, John Cavanis, who also goes by Easy Morning. And then his first draft, even, it wasn't the final draft, but it was pretty close. The song just took on its own spirit immediately. Whereas Saucy is like a two-year-old write, you know, I wrote it a long time ago and it was like, it's such a fun song and getting it from the fun of the day of writing it to a place where I was ready to put it out was like pulling teeth. So I absolutely know what you mean. It's like some things just flow and then other pieces of art are like, oh, you thought you could just finish me.
Right. Exactly. Yes. That is so true. And there's usually, the person who commissioned it or in your case, you know, producers or somebody. Hey, how's any progress on that? What's it look at? Oh, my gosh. You just want to not answer the phone.
Right. Well,
welcome to my world.
I'm sure that as a painter, you will understand this. I feel like a lot of works of art go through kind of an ugly duckling phase where at the beginning, it looks so promising. At the beginning, you're like, wow, this is going to be so cool. Am I like the greatest artist who's ever lived or what? And then you work on it more and it somehow gets worse and worse. And like you're digging this hole. And it's very difficult to remember, like, okay, yeah, sometimes this is just how it just gets a little ugly and messy. And then at the end, it gets polished up and it comes out great. And there's this weird ending magic. But it is so hard to push through that ugly phase.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I'm tearing up because somebody gets it. Somebody understands. You know, Samantha, I was talking with a friend of mine, a month or two back, who is a musician. And I don't want to say his name or anything because, you know, you'll understand when I finish the story. Anyway, he's very one of my old friends from back in my wild days. He's very involved in AA now. And thank God, got things together. And I guess there's a term that he was telling me that is popular in that world, or a phrase that I hadn't heard, and it's helped me so many times, is he said, you got to learn to trust the process. Just trust the process, because that happens a lot, too, when the painting is warping and going terrible, and, you know, the plane is going down. You know that you will pull it out, because you've done it so many times. That you worry, you know, and you got to trust that process. Yeah. And it's something, I guess, experience gives you, you know, like it sounds like you got a pretty good beat on that, you know. It sucks when they fight you.
Yeah, I think I've also really learned, I'm a very independent person. I mean, you moved out at, what, you said 16? I'm sure you understand being a very independent person.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was hard for me to learn that there are times when I believe in myself and I can just push through that on my own. I can just be like, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. It's all going to work out. It's all going to come together. And then there are other times when I really need to find someone else who believes in me. And that was hard for me to learn. I really wanted to be able to pull through everything just all on my own with my own willpower and my own skill set. And realizing that actually it's, you know, it's such a gift to have people around who, when you're like, man, this sounds stupid, or, you know, this painting looks terrible, you can go to somebody else who's like, but remember, you're a great artist. Like, actually, you're really good and it's going to be okay. You know?
It's so true. I will be honest with you, I have probably painted, I don't know, people ask me this all the time, but I really honestly haven't kept count. Maybe close to 3,000 to 5,000 paintings, you know, over the last couple decades, a lot. And it's a very good example. I still get exactly what you're talking about. Last night I finished a painting up that I liked. You know, I wouldn't have sent it out, the picture, to the person who commissioned it, you know, unless I liked it. You know, it just, I wouldn't have done it. But I always worry. I'm like, well, hopefully they'll like it, you know. An hour goes by and you're like, oh no, I'm going to have to redo this. And then it comes back. Oh, I love it. It's perfect. Blah, blah, blah. You know? and
totally
in the bath or having dinner or something, who knows. But I get it. And let me ask you this. Do you I haven't seen on your, you have a fantastic website, by the way. I've been checking it out and whatnot, and yeah, it's I love looking at stuff like this. It's very, and you got a really cool blog on there as well, under thoughts, folks, and it's SamanthaMargaret.com. It's very easy to find and whatnot. And right at the top, this is what I didn't see this before when I looked. I just looked now at it. You do have a Patreon account as well.
I do.
I am my wife just talked me into starting one of these, so I am. I mean, it's real hard for me to, we're getting ready to launch it, probably launch it next week, but it was hard for me to even want to do one. What you just said made so much sense to me. I mean, here's a group of people that dig what you're doing, you know what I mean? And they get it. And to have that.
And you know what has been so interesting to me about Patreon, which maybe this will be encouraging to you, I don't know, but I was really hesitant about it because initially I was like, I feel weird asking people for money. Most of the people I know are artists or, you know, young professionals and don't have a ton of money spare. And I feel weird sending out this campaign, you know, even though I believe that artists should get paid for making art. It's still hard when it's you. And I think the thing that was so helpful, the realization that really changed it for me, is I consult my patrons on Patreon all the time about projects that are in process. So I will go in there say, hey, here are four versions of the possible album art. Like, please pick your favorite and let me know why. And that, it's like having a team. I mean, it's incredible, you know? You go from being this one-person decision-making machine, which can be hard and stressful, to, okay, I have 7 people's opinions or I have 10 people's opinions, and what do I make of them? And it really is supportive financially, but it's just supportive emotionally, too. It's really helpful.
That's fantastic. And it's not just putting it out there on Facebook, you know, ooh, you're pretty, you know, we all the weird internet thing. I get weird when I get those messages from people, usually in some, you know, other country somewhere. They're like, hey, sex. I'm like, what? I hope you're a computer program because I feel very sad for you if you're not.
I know.
You need to search the internet more.
It's such a strange dynamic, too, because it's like, you know that I'm a real person who knows real people. I'm not, like, trying to get involved with a weirdo on Instagram. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Come on, man. Hey, speaking of the next track, you talked a little bit about this. This is Saucy. This is the one that fought you a little bit, but you can't tell when you hear it. It's just perfect. I love it. And let's play it and we'll talk about it because this is such a good track, too. Here it is, everybody. Check this out. Saucy, Samantha Margaret.
Good on anything like sriracha. Spicy like the wings at a bacha. Hand on my waist like a salsa. Hot on your tongue, Louisiana. Hard to see me coming, sweet and sour. Need another serving every hour. I bring the flavor. You want, you always want more of me. I'm salty. Spicy and sweet, I bring the heat. Caramel and coffee, Sunday night.
about you tomorrow. Chili peppers rev it up like an F8 Ferrari. Plus you always keep it hot. Holla at my umami. I'm saying it. Most of the guys might hit in a dip. I put my love and labor about you, keep in the fridge. If you ever feel down, dip a finger squeeze. If you ever run low, tip 40 degrees. She is cool with some cool whip on a hot day. When you cut things, I'll flambe. Got a taste for the kick that's waking the vibe. Yo, to me, I'll step a few. Where's the pico de gallo?
No need to talk about it. I meant it how it sounded. Just so much.
Got the sauce in the drip, do the obvious take. You be raising the bar, what a condiment is. Every steak needs an A, when I'm God, you a gift. Don't got green in my wallet, but guac for my trip. Ay. You love me. Are you hungry, baby? Are you hungry?
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That was Saucy Samantha Margaret. Another track I like. Another track. Now, this track, I wanted to ask, because I don't have it in my show notes here, who did the rapping and whatnot in it?
Oh, that's Son of Paper. Yeah, his name is Son of Paper, and he is phenomenal. You should definitely check him out. He's at Son of Paper on Instagram and Facebook, and
nice.
He's a really cool guy. He does a lot of Korean raps, too. Like, he'll rap in English and Korean, which I think is so cool.
How cool is that? How cool is that? Hey, I wanted to ask you, let me look at my show notes here. Yeah, is there going to be a, I'm sorry, I saw it said Femmes GF video with a link here, and I misread that for a second. Is there going to be a video for Saucy, do you think?
There is 100% going to be a video for Saucy. There, you know, little inside information, there was supposed to be a video for Saucy when the song came out, but... The video is one of the things that really, it was like everything that could go wrong sort of did go wrong. I mean, one of those things being just 2020, just it's hard to make a music video in COVID.
Absolutely.
I think with songwriting, I can write in my house and I don't need to go anywhere. And if I want to co-write, I can have somebody on Zoom, you know, and with the video, it's like I cannot film and be in and direct and art direct a video on my own. So
no, it's hard.
And we had a location that got co-opted for COVID testing, and it really was it was wild. But the good news is I'm a big believer in the idea that when you have to come up with creative solutions, like when you have a problem and you have to creatively solve that problem, you end up with a better product most of the time. And I actually think
Absolutely.
It's going to be a really cool video, but we're going to release it in January. We're going to let everybody have their little holiday break, and then the video will come out in January.
Nice, nice. Well, I will definitely be blasting out on all my social media and whatnot when it does drop. And, you know,
oh, thank you. Yeah, it's going
to
be weird.
Well, no, it'll be fine. Hey, you know what? I'll email.
Yeah, I say that lovingly. I think it's just going to be, I love kind of a strange video. You know, it's just going to be odd and creative. And how else could it be with a song called Saucy, you know?
I'm telling you, our guest room in our house has been converted. Technically, it's a guest room. It's also a library. It's been so many things. Now it is a TikTok music or a video room. It has been converted to a TikTok stage for my wife. My wife's a cosplayer, and there's no conventions or anything going on this year. So discovered TikTok, and yeah, on her days
That's
off,
great.
She sits in there
That's
and does
great. I'm still learning about TikTok. I've done like with this song, I've put up some videos of me sauce tasting, like tasting different sauces around my house, and you know, but I must admit, it's a new frontier. It's an exciting challenge, but it is a challenge.
Oh, I'm telling you, I don't know anything about it enough. I know enough where she shows me her phone and plays me something, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. No idea what's going on. But you know, I'm a supportive guy.
People are so funny. It's amazing to me how funny people are.
I'm just old, you know. That's, you know, I couldn't tell you what a WhatsApp is. Just really couldn't. I think it has something to do with Instagram. I don't know. I'm lucky to keep up with Facebook. You know, I miss MySpace. Anyhow. Well, that's cool that a video will drop. Now, you have been releasing singles, which about half my musician friends do that business plan where they're releasing singles, which I think is fantastic because you get feedback, and I think it's probably better economically or easier economically to do it that way as opposed to dropping full EPs or LPs or whatnot. Is that kind of the plan, do you think, going forward to keep doing the single releases and whatnot?
That you asked this question, I like, so Saucy and Feminist GF have sort of related album art. It's different, but it's related, and I have been really enjoying working in this space of like, you have a project, you have a group of songs that sort of feel like they go together. Maybe, you know, for me, I'm working with sort of the same producers on a lot of the songs, and but releasing them as singles, a lot of what I've enjoyed about that is the creativity that happens around the release. So it's not the same art, it's not the same colors, it's not, you know, you get to just sort of throw each song a little party,
right.
Which I think is very satisfying as an artist. You know, I listen to album cuts. I've always loved people's album cuts, but you know that when somebody puts out an 8-song or a 12-song album, there are a lot of people who listen to the 3 singles or the 2 singles and don't listen to the rest of the album, you know? And I think there's something that really honors each song about doing it as singles too.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting to me, and you can, you know, I like discovering different, cause you know, I'll listen to somebody like yourself who, you know, I'm digging and I digging their art and their work and whatnot. And then I'll go to YouTube or I'll hit the net, you know, Spotify, whatever, and try to discover more about them, you know, because, and that's part of the fun too. I'm old enough to remember when that wasn't an option. You only had an album and you had the liner notes on the back of the album. That's maybe a magazine article. You know, there was this weird DJ I used to listen to in Detroit out of Canada. He was somewhere in a bunker in Canada and would play. And I don't know how he knew, but he would tell you the whole life story of Andy Bell from Erasure or something at 3 a.m. And I would stay up late and listen to that. But, you know, it's cool that, well, yeah, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But it's cool that we live in the era that we live because you can interact with your fans and stuff. You know, you have a fantastic Instagram account, all this. You've got the social media down, you know,
Thank you.
Doesn't surprise
I
me,
really-
too.
It doesn't feel that way always on my end. And there are some days where it feels good and there are others where I'm like, this is chaos. How did I just spend 3 hours on TikTok or whatever? But I do think there is something really special about, you know, I think we are in a world, like, I'm sure you saw this. Everybody just posted their Spotify Wrapped, you know, I had this many listeners this year. And I feel very mixed about that. On the one hand, I am all for people patting themselves on the back and celebrating themselves. On the other hand, I think it creates a little bit of this dynamic of you are your numbers, your worth is your numbers. And
right.
I think the thing is that is positive for me about social media is that one fan can really make a difference. For me, like, I had a woman message me when Feminist GF came out saying, you know, I really appreciate this song. I've been really angry about this and like haven't known how to express it. And now I'm just going to play this song for people. And that is like unbelievably meaningful, you know, and it's one person. It's not 100,000 streams. And so I think that that's, for me, that's the nice part of social media is those interactions and just having awesome, like you would do when you get off stage at a live show, you know, especially this year where there is no post show hangout, you know, there is no walk off stage.
No, there's not.
Yeah. And so the social media has really become like I release a song and that's where I get to hear from people about their experience of it.
Oh, absolutely. And as an artist, that is so important to get that feedback and whatnot. I have a good friend of mine who's a young lady. She's a teenager now, but when she started, she was a preteen. And in the I guess Americana, rockabilly. Not really rock. I guess Americana is the best genre to describe her, what she was doing, but it was so great. Her band, and they travel around and they play, used to, you know, and they were here in South Florida, and I went and saw one of her concerts. It's middle of the afternoon. I was kind of, you know, but she's a little kid, she's a little girl, and it was so funny to me. It's not funny. That's a terrible thing to say, but it was so cool because there were all these little girls that talked their parents into bringing them to this show. And, you know, they were all dressed just like her. And a bunch of 12, you know, 10-year-olds, little girls, really into her. And she got done with her set. And the first thing she did, and again, she's grown up in this world. You know, this is just part of it. First thing she did is she come down, hung out with all the little girls that were dressed like her, you know what I mean, and just BS'd with them for a good hour. And, it might have been near the merch table or whatever, but whatever, so girls weren't spending the money, you know, 10-year-old little girls. Their parents might have bought a T-shirt or something for them. But anyhow, I thought that I was talking to my wife at the time, my fiance at the time, and I said, see what she's doing there? I said, that as a performer, that is so important. She is getting more information and more feedback from her direct market. You know, I said, that's amazing. You know, it's... So that's exactly what you're saying, you know, and that's missing right now. People don't get that, you know, you don't have that on a live stream, you know?
Right. And I think it's easier for me at least, you know, I won't speak for other artists, but I have found that it's easier to fall into that trap of, you know, checking how many streams I got today and checking, you know, checking that information to try to get that same feedback. And you know, that isn't the same. You know, like that isn't going to ever give you that same feeling of genuinely interacting with one fan. And I think that that is part of the struggle of being, you know, a live performer of any kind. And then it being in 2020 is like, I am very lucky to still be able to make music, but it is different. And the way that my headspace is different because I'm not out there understanding like how's Saucy going over, right? Like I'm just putting out Saucy and being like, well, this is a very odd song. I hope people are as into it as I am. And you never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like it. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
It's an awesome track. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's a weird time. It's a weird world. I never saw it coming. I don't think anybody saw it coming. You know, I was actually, me and my wife finally got married in March, and I've told this story before, but and I don't mean to make light of, well, thanks. Yeah, and then the world gave us a, you know, a year-long honeymoon.
Right, a little wedding present.
No, we're one of those weird couples. We've been together for like 8 years. You know, we finally, you know, took the plunge, I guess. But we already bought a house together, and, you know, and my dog and stuff. We got to, you know, all that. We kind of went backwards.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember we got married, it was March 8th, and at the reception, you know, I had a bunch of friends. I had friends from high school, you know, very, you know, as you would expect at a wedding. And me and my one friend, we were kind of being a little cavalier about it. You know, we're like, yeah, you know, look at are you kidding me? You know, people are freaking out and everything. And 4 days later, we were at, me and my wife were at Disney World having dinner, and everybody stopped talking and started passing their phones or looking at their phones. And that's when Disney had announced they were closing the parks and everything. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
If Disney is giving up money, it's serious, you know?
It's time.
I wasn't worried so much about the disease itself because I didn't know enough about the disease to be worried about it.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, the world's going to go full on Mad Max now, and people are going to try to break into our house.
Right.
You know, that's not cool. But it's been unfortunately, I was totally wrong on that. That didn't happen in our neighborhood, at least. But it's been a weird year, mind-blowingly weird. Let me ask you this, because I've asked all of my guests recently this. I work from home. I have a home studio. I do the show here. We have a little recording studio type thing set up for that. But I'm always home. I'm always home. And so people are like, oh, you know, are you freaking out, you know, being stuck at home? I'm like, no, it's like a Tuesday to me, man. My wife being off work, though, when her store closed for the month or so that it did, that was an adjustment. I wasn't used to her being home all the time. We had to course correct and whatnot. But I've never been busier than this year. I have been swamped this year. How have you been as an artist this year? Have you had just tons of downtime, or have you been working your tail off?
Yeah, well, I as a person am not great at downtime. I'm still working on the skill of rest, which I think is a skill. I have a lot of admiration for people who are able to really cultivate balance in their lives. So I haven't had a lot of downtime, but I do think I've had a dramatic shift in what my work is, because so much of what I was doing before was live shows. I was traveling back and forth to Los Angeles, and I was writing with people, and I was playing live shows, and I organized a couple of, you know, I had a couple of shows that I hosted, and so there was so much going from one place to another place, playing music, packing up, going home, going to another place, you know. And I think in a lot of ways, obviously there are horrific sides to 2020, and there's been a lot of loss. But I think one of the gifts that 2020 can offer is introspection and is time with ourselves. And I think my writing has been a lot better, partially just because I have the space to write a song every day if I want to, you know, and I'm not packing up to go to a show. I'm not driving 6 hours to go to LA. I'm not, you know, worried about this opening this other person's show, and it's just a different it's a different set of priorities for me.
That's fantastic. Well, it obviously shows you've been turning, you know, it's amazing. But then again, I don't know. I don't know about the work pre-COVID, you know. Maybe that was just
slower.
Par for the course, or whatever.
I wasn't putting out as many songs pre-COVID. It was slower. Yeah, you guessed correctly.
Well, I am really digging the work that you have been doing, I've been exposed to. It's so good. It's so good. Let me ask you, I know we're getting up against time. You're just fascinating to talk to. Man, I could talk to you all day. But I want to ask
you
before we...
You too.
Before we wrap things up, there's a lot of people, we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are, they want to be doing what you're doing. They want to be, living that glamorous Samantha life. And any advice to, new people into the entertainment, perhaps, world, I don't want to say youngsters, because, it could be any age, that you would give from your unique perspective?
That is so hard, because I really believe that every artist is different and everybody's journey looks different. That is, like, I've gotten that response so many times, and it's so infuriating, but it's true. But I think that focusing on the next step has been really helpful to me. I think that the music industry can look really glitz and glamour, and, you know, I need to be writing with Selena Gomez in order to be a songwriter. And
right.
I think understanding that the next step is far enough, right? Like, if you move one step, that is a huge accomplishment in this industry. And so, you know, figuring out, like, okay, writing with Selena Gomez may not be what is the adjacent step for you. And so what is? Like, if I'm not going to pitch to Miranda Lambert tomorrow, if I'm not going to be singing at the Grammys tomorrow, then what is the thing that I'm doing tomorrow that's different than today? And how do I get from what I'm doing today to what I want to be doing tomorrow? I think that that is, and I, as I say that, I'm like reminding myself too, right? That it's so hard to stay focused on the little dreams and the little achievements.
Right.
But it is how problems happen, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like watching one of those boring football games, you know? Yeah, sometimes the ball only moves 2 yards, you know? You're like, man, that was a lot of energy for that. But those 2 yards can be very important. They add up. And I think a lot of people, it's easy to lose sight of that. And the other thing, you know, I would add too, and this is something that you just encompass and so well with such grace and whatnot, is so many people I know in entertainment, and I don't care if you're making music or trying to do an indie film or whatever, you know, baking cookies, whatever it is you're trying to do, is they look for shortcuts, you know? And I don't know if it's like these competition show mythology of, you know, oh, I'm just going to get discovered. And I have several friends that were on those competition shows, and they were hot for about 3 months afterwards, and then not so much so. The big thing that I have found, and Samantha is very true, I can tell just by our conversation today, is you have to work. You have to work, whatever it is you're doing. She works. That's why she's at the point she's at. She's put in time.
I think that is also where, I mean, for me, I don't know about other people, but for me, there's a lot of hope in the idea that you can just do the next thing and that's enough for now, you know, because it can feel really hopeless when you're looking at someone who wins American Idol and you're like, wow, I'm writing songs in my living room, you know, and those are really different.
Right.
And it can feel really disempowering. And just being able to say, you know, okay, well, today I'm writing songs in my living room, so tomorrow I'm going to go play at an open mic. And, oh, okay, I know all the people at my open mic, so now I'm going to, you know, try to book a show. And, like, just doing that stuff is so much more empowering and so much more filled with hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you start doing live performance and whatnot, were you nervous doing that? Is it old hat now?
Oh.
And do you think – when the world settles down and you start doing it again, is it going to be weird? Like getting back into the groove?
It's already harder for me to perform on Zoom because I've been out of it for a minute. But I think, you know, the thing, when I first started performing, I was really uncomfortable with myself and my music on stage. Like I just could feel people watching me, and that made me really nervous. And then I think that the further in I got, the more that I realized, like, you know what, I'm just doing my thing up here, and people get to decide whether they like it or not, and that's fine, you know? Like, some people don't like it, and that's how it goes. And I think, like, already I'm so used to being in my little hideout of my house now that I go out in the world, and I'm like, wow, there's so many people out here.
So true. We've all turned into turtles.
Exactly. I poke my head out and I'm like, when did all of these people start living right next to me? I don't remember this. So.
Let me ask you this. As an intelligent person who's living in the midst of the quarantine and the crazy 2020, how are you dealing with, or is it an issue when you're out and about doing your you know, day-to-day life and whatnot. When you come across people that aren't necessarily taking everything as serious as you do, you know, they're flaunting the masks and whatnot. How
that
are you
is
dealing
a really
with that?
That is a really interesting question. I mean, I think, first of all, I am not having to deal with that as much as many people across America are, partly because I live in the Bay Area, and people in the Bay Area have been incredibly generous with one another, and people are wearing masks for the most part, and we have been fortunate to have sort of a lower rate of COVID than a lot of places, so I think it's safer. And I don't go out that much. It helps that I'm kind of an introvert. I'm very outgoing, but I'm kind of an introvert. And so it helps that I sort of sit in my house and make art all day. But I
thank God for Amazon.
Yeah.
We use it a lot here.
I do think that, you know, for me, it's all about boundary setting. For me, it's all about, like, because I do have friends who feel differently than I do, right? Maybe they're being safe, but their definition of safe is just different than mine. Their understanding of the risk, because really part of the issue is that none of us have enough information to know 100% what the risks are.
Right.
And so we're all making judgments about risk, where some of us are like, well, the only safe thing is you never go outside. And some of us are like, oh, it's fine to be in a park. Or, oh, well, it's fine to do outdoor dining, right? Like, those are just really different understandings of the risks. And I think trying to hear people out, understand, okay, how are you interpreting the risks? Why do you feel the way you feel? And then just be really clear about, that's great. I respect what you're saying for you. And I can't be around you unless we're 6 feet apart and in masks. You know, like, that's my boundary. And setting really clear boundaries. But again, I think that I have had to do a lot less of that than some of, like, I have, you know, a lot of friends in Nashville who are having a very different experience than I am.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We were out of, we ran out of dry cat food last night. And so, you know, my wife, we ran up to the grocery store and I said, I'll just run in and get it. We've been doing that a lot too. One of us will just, as opposed to before, both of us would go into a place. And, you know, I think we own stock in hand sanitizer now. But I wasn't thinking, yesterday was a crazy day for me on just work stuff that had happened all day long. Nothing bad, ladies and gentlemen, just a weird day. And I we had to postpone a show. It was, I had a lot on my mind. Ran into the grocery store, didn't, and we have a whole, you know, we have like 20 masks in the car console there. I forgot to grab one, and I made it halfway through the grocery store before I even realized, you know. And there were people in the grocery store, like workers and stuff. Nobody said anything to me. And I'm like, oh, man, I put my hand over my mouth, and I ran outside, got a mask, came back in, and bought the cat food. But I was talking to the checkout lady, and she goes, yeah. She goes, I saw you run out. And I said, yeah, nobody told me, you know, not that it's their job to tell me, but it kind of is in a way. I had forgot, you know, but I'm surprised I got as far through as I did. And she's like, well, everybody likes you, Jamie. You know, we all know you and stuff. And I'm like, well, if everybody likes me, they should want me to be around, you know?
Right.
Remind me when the professor here forgets his mask.
It's such an interesting thing that she said, well, everybody likes you, right? Because I think that we are looking at it as confrontation. Like, we're looking at it as, oh, if I ask them to wear a mask, I'm confronting them. And so if I like them, I shouldn't do that. And I think that the reality is, like, somebody can be doing their best and still need a reminder. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be that you're confronting them. Like, you can just be like, hey, could you wear a mask for me? And as a friend, you know, like, hey, you're my friend. You probably want to take care of me because you're a nice person. Would you mind putting on a mask? Like, yeah, I think it doesn't have to be this huge confrontation, but it's hard because I'm sure a lot of those store workers are in huge confrontations every day like a lot of essential
workers, all the time.
In constant confrontation where they're like, yeah, I don't want to get into it, which totally makes sense. And but wouldn't it be nice if it were a reminder instead of a confrontation?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's a weird thing. And it was just a weird thing that happened. It, you know, one of those weird things that I thought about it last night, you know, afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything. And I, but yeah, it's one of the few, and I've been really, because I'm that guy that tells her, oh, you need to put a mask on. You know, I'm that guy. So it surprised me that I even forgot. Obviously, I had a lot going on. to need that reminder, but I'm glad I realized it. I bet you I could have went through that whole store and the whole process without anybody seeing me. And I'm like, that ain't cool. That ain't cool at all. I extra washed my hands afterwards because I was worried somebody else might have done that. You know. Anyway, I know we went way past the time, and I apologize about that. Like I said, you're fascinating to talk to, Samantha. And I can't wait to hear more music and just see other projects you're doing, read more blog entries. You're fantastic on your website there. And we also have links, everybody, to all of Samantha's social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I suggest you like and follow and share. It's very important. Samantha, you're on Spotify as well.
I'm on Spotify. I'm on YouTube Music. My name is spelled a little funny. So for anybody listening, it's Samantha, spelled totally normally. And then Margaret, spelled M-A-R-G-R-E-T. There's no second A, just because it's a family name.
I got you. It's like the French pronunciation or something.
Margaret or Samantha Margaret Music pretty much everywhere.
Nice. Well, we'll be adding Samantha also to our we have a Pop Rocks Radio Spotify playlist where we add all the guests, the music guests that are on to it, of course. I suggest we live in an algorithm world, ladies and gentlemen. Add if you dig a musician or something, add them to your playlists and whatnot and play them. It's so important. And helps out so much. There's a lot of technical stuff that happens, but it's really cool when you do that.
Really does. And it's free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is awesome.
Absolutely.
You just add somebody to a playlist, and it's a huge support, and it's free. So it's really awesome.
It doesn't cost you anything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha, I'm going to tell you this in case no one has today. You know this already. Keep doing what you're doing. You're real, real good at it, you know? You were doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I think that's awesome.
Thank you. So that really, it means a lot. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I know we went a little long today, but Samantha's just fascinating to talk to. This episode will be converted to a podcast, pushed on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 250 of them. You know, the big ones, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, we're on them all. So you can – my wife, Danny, just figured this out last week. She said, you realize if somebody was really bored and wanted to – she goes, let me emphasize being really bored and wanted to listen to your show nonstop and listen to all the episodes, it would take them 46 days to do it, 24 hours a day. I really hope none of our listeners, no one out there in the world is that bored to listen to me for 46 days, even though I talk to really cool people like Samantha. That's too much. Get a hobby.
Yeah.
Buy a dog. Do something.
Maybe
oh, man.
Spread those 46 days out over a year.
There you go. Well, we will be back tomorrow. No, we won't. No, we don't. Tomorrow's Tuesdays. It's my day off. For now, until we start the Patreon, and then we'll have the Patreon-only shows on Tuesday. But the rest of the week, that's right, 7 days this week we have shows, folks. It's that time of year. Everybody's getting their Christmas stuff out of the way. And, you know, we're helping out as we can. Very, very cool. Well, check that out. Check out our sponsors. They're awesome. And, hey, when the little commercial breaks happen, when this is converted to the podcast, grab a pencil, burnt piece of wood, I don't know, a lipstick, and whatever you got, and write the codes down. All of our advertisers have a code. And if you use that code, you can save a little bit of money, you know. And you can go to Samantha's website and buy some Samantha merch. and or more singles and whatnot, you know, or, I don't know, head over to my website and see if there's a painting, something you want. Very, very cool. Okay, that's it for today. Have a great one, everybody. Thank you so much, Samantha, for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.